private money can be your mom's friend, people who already know you, like you, and trust you within your sphere of influence. And the difference being, when using private money, you have the opportunity to create whatever agreement that you want in a way that works best for both of you. And they might not necessarily need points or need a 12-month balloon. Maybe they're cool with having your money paid back in 5 years, or maybe they're cool with 8% interest only as opposed to whatever the hard money lender can give you. So it's just, there's a lot more room for making both parties happy and saving money on the investor side.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Shelby Osborne graduated from the University of South Carolina in 2012, served in the Army for 6 years, and got out as a captain in the beginning of 2018. Since purchasing her first rental property in 2017, she now owns 51 units purchased using several different strategies. Fun facts about Shelby: she likes endorphins, dopamine, adrenaline, and seriously dislikes wasting time, anything slow or lazy, closed-mindedness, and, of course, three-foot walls. Shelby, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And that for real was a bio that was out of date, because I now have 74 doors. So my bad for sending you the wrong one.
It's all good. You know, you're trending in the right direction, right? I mean, Anybody that's growing their portfolio wants to see that number, I think, continuously grow. So that's fantastic. Shelby, the same three questions I ask everybody who comes on this show: where did you start? Where are you now? And quickly, how did you get there?
Sure. So I started my interest in real estate investing back in 2017 when my frustrations with the military grew and did not see a long future for myself in the military, and looked for the avenue in which I could stop trading my time for money. And after some research, discovered real estate, got out of the military to pursue real estate both full-time as an investor and as an agent. And so my first year was 2018, and on the agent side of the house, did well. I was the Keller Williams Rookie of the Year. And on the investor side, scaled up to 16 doors. And then fast forward, we're at 3.5 years now, actually more than that, almost four. And my portfolio is 74, and I am the owner of the Five Pillars team at eXp Realty. So that's a team of investor-minded agents.
That's awesome. That's a lot of growth in a very short period of time. Has all of that been single family? What has been, you know, what is your portfolio comprised of?
It consists of a little bit of everything. So it started out with, I have a handful of single families. I have a large chunk of residential multis, so duplexes, triplexes, quads. And then I have a couple commercial. So I have a 5, 6, and 8 unit. And then my focus actually really is the Burr and B strategy, though. So the Burr method into the short-term rental as opposed to the long.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces there. You know, I think, and that's one thing I think everybody struggles with when they start out is finding which avenue to focus on. And somehow You found a way, I mean, to acquire 74 units across a variety of investing strategies, as well as be a full-time agent and also be training agents. I mean, that's a lot of moving pieces. What have been some of the secrets to figuring out all of this?
So secrets definitely are understanding the power of systems and people. Those are the two things that have really expedited my path. And with that, systems I've built everything. So I started out doing everything myself, as many people start out. And as I went through the process of learning how to do all the things, I would document them as I go and automate them. And so by documenting and automating, I was able to, when it was time to pick my head up and leverage with the right people, was able to transfer the how-to and the kind of intent and way ahead to each of them, which really allowed everything to grow more quickly.
Gotcha. That's interesting. You know, and it's hard to do, I think, you know, with the smaller properties. How have you been able to do that, especially as, you know, maybe stuff's been spread out and even with different investing strategies?
It hasn't been, I guess, I mean, everything is difficult, by the way. You know, it's really easy to talk to someone at like the 4-year mark and be like, how'd you do it? And it's like blood, sweat, and tears, actually. But in regards to, I mean, my portfolio is divided between my long-term rentals and then my short-term. And with that, I have a property manager who handles my long-term rentals, and I have a property manager who handles my short-term rentals. And then I have an assistant who essentially works as an asset manager and oversees the two of them. And so between that, of course, problems still arise. But as long as you have the right people managing the right systems, there's less that you have to do yourself. There's always more stuff. I mean, it always hits the fan.
Sure.
Yeah. But as long as you have the right people in the right systems, it's manageable.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Why have you done some long-term rentals and some short-term rentals?
Because like you mentioned, it's you learn as you go. So I started out with the long-term rentals across the board. That was the goal, was buy and hold. It was cash flow. It was financial freedom, the whole thing that most people think about starting out. And then I tested one of my properties with a short-term rental, and the cash flow is just so much better that I quickly realized that I don't need 74 rental properties. I need a chunk of high-performing short-term rentals, and that will be more than enough to hit my own personal goals financially.
Right. Right. How have you financed these opportunities? I mean, coming out of the military, you know, getting out of the military as a captain. I mean, you know, you're not making $1 million a year, I'm assuming.
Nope. Yeah. So it's funny. My first one ever was an unintentional investment. It was just a primary residence in Washington State. That's the only one that I have outside of the Carolinas. I'm in North Carolina. And so that when I used my VA loan, the military, you get 0% down on a primary residence.
Right.
So then when I first discovered investing, I did not know obviously as much as I do now. And so I put 25% down on a duplex as my first property. It was a turnkey duplex, and quickly discovered that even at the $75,000 purchase price, I could not do that very many times because you quickly run out of capital. And so I started looking into other options, and I used my VA loan again and got 4 units from that because you can buy a quadplex. And then after that, started raising private capital in order to do the BRRRR strategy. So private funds to acquire, renovate, and then refinance on the back end, pay off the private money lender, and actually just really ask them for the money back and do it again.
Right. No, understood that. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, it's basically just hard money was what you were using on the front end.
Private money. Private money so much better than hard money, just because.
Find the difference for us.
Yeah, for sure. So hard money is institutionalized. I don't know if that's the correct word, but basically it's backed with, there's rules, there's going to be standards, appraisals. Generally, sometimes hard money lenders don't require appraisals, but it is a business. Whereas private money doesn't have to be. Private money can be your mom's friend, people who already know you, like you, and trust you within your sphere of influence. And the difference being, when using private money, you have the opportunity to create whatever agreement that you want in a way that works best for both of you. And, you know, they might not necessarily need points or need a 12-month balloon. Maybe they're cool with having your money paid back in 5 years, or maybe they're cool with, you know, 8% interest only as opposed to whatever the hard money lender can give you. So it's just, there's a lot more room for making both parties happy and saving money on the investor side.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think sometimes those terms are used interchangeably, and maybe there are some nuanced differences there for sure. Let's talk a little bit about your real estate agent side of things. I know you have really focused on training agents to be investors and investor representatives. What does that mean, and how does that work?
Yes. So I quickly found that as a real estate agent my very first year, that when you look across real estate agents, most of them have no idea anything about investing. They don't know how to speak the language. They don't understand the mindset. If you tell them you want an investment property, they're actually probably going to get scared and run. So I found that there is a gap in our industry for that. And by finding other agents who are on a similar path than I was, where they would like to generate active income through commission closings to pour into their passive income portfolio, there was an opportunity to fill that gap in the market. And so I've trained agents on how to work with investors, but also how to use their active income to get them out of the never-ending hamster wheel of real estate life. Because if you imagine as an agent, it's you close the deal and you're happy for about 10 seconds. And you're like, oh crap, when's the next one closing? Because I have no guaranteed income. There's no retirement. There's no actual light at the end of the tunnel. So it's just all of those pain points is what I aim to solve with my team at Five Pillars.
Gotcha. That's fantastic. And that's something many years ago when I was buying single family, especially on the commercial side, obviously we understand that, you know, what brokers do, it's still the same hamster wheel, which is still interesting that even in the commercial side, we see that, but especially on the single family side of things, That's fascinating. How did you come up with the idea and then figure out a way to monetize that with other agents and bring them on board? What was that process like?
The idea came from interest of the agents around me. You know, I had people come up to me and be like, hey, I like what you're doing. I want to be a part of it too. And so based on that interest is where the idea developed from. And by systematizing and providing leverage and a system in which agents can plug into and begin to operate and expedite their success, that provided the opportunity for turning it into an actual business. Because what I found is, you know, most people, systems are challenging. Right. Figuring out what to do and timelines and having, you know, email templates or drafts or packets and all of these things, it's just, it does not come naturally to most people. And most people are happy to fall into a system that already exists.
Right. Yeah. No, that does not come naturally to most people. Is that kind of what you feel like is your gifting then, is figuring out those systems and putting in those templates and things?
Yes, absolutely. I think that systems, organization, automation is my strength for sure.
So fun facts about you, I think, that are interesting. You said you like endorphins, dopamine, and adrenaline. What does that mean? And how does that affect your business and work?
So just understanding, I guess, the biology behind humans is very interesting to me. So endorphins, like freaking getting that sweat on. We talked about it. Both of us had good workouts this morning. And the chemical changes in which it provides your body are, you know, what I thrive on. Right. Same with dopamine and adrenaline, just in general. I like exciting, you know, skydiving or bungee jumping or anything that's like fast and exciting. So I just know myself and that's what I like. If that makes sense.
Yeah. How do you keep that real in business? I mean, what, how does that across, you know, it's more than just working out and getting an adrenaline high. Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be a way that that applies to business as well.
Yeah. So getting shit done in general, getting stuff done. Sorry. That military man.
That's what I had to explore.
It will give me that little kick and it's exciting. Like I want to attack a project, break it down into actionable steps and then complete it. And that, I understand that with business and I've found a way to integrate it with business. So it's like, for me, it's fun. Like business is a puzzle and it's a part that I get to play with and build and create whatever I can imagine and then attack and bring it into a reality. So that's super, super exciting for me. The adrenaline part is a little riskier. You want to make sure that you don't tap into that as much as, you know, you may be naturally inclined because that's how you get yourself in trouble.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. What have been some things maybe that what have been some hard experiences that you have gone through in business where you let that get the best of you?
Yeah, I have experienced some downfalls in regards to like FOMO, the fear of missing out. So when you see, and great, like I love my community. It is actually my biggest source of pride, I would say, is the community that we've built and the people that I get to spend all my time with. But with that, they're incredible go-getters and they're always like trying something new, learning something new, acquiring this, doing this. And I'm just like, oh man, I need to be doing more. And I love that in a lot of ways, but also it can get you in trouble because if you, you know, turn your head at every shiny object that comes your way, you're losing focus on what's best for you. And so having that awareness that you have to take that time to reflect and think about truly what is best for you, not what everyone else is doing, is super important or else it will derail your progress.
Right. How do you define what is best for you and how do you make sure you stay on track?
So hard. I'm really big on mornings. So my Miracle Morning Millionaire is one of my favorite books, the Hal Elrod and David Osborne series about how you do your morning sets the rest of your day. And it's that time in the morning when you haven't opened your phone yet. You haven't checked your email. There's no distractions. It's quiet. And you can actually think. You can actually think about where you want to go. Are you on track? You pull yourself out of the grind, the daily grind of just attacking whatever's in front of you. And you look at your life strategically from a bird's eye view. And if you're able to look at the whole picture, you're able to make sure that you're headed in the right direction and make that focus for your daily tasks, your weekly tasks, your monthly tasks. And as long as you're able to pull yourself out, look at your life strategically, and then stay focused on that. In my experience, that is the most successful way for me to do it.
That's absolutely awesome. Yeah, that's and I know there's so many people who come on this show kind of say the same thing, use the Miracle Morning as a template and work from that frame of reference. So that's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about your dislikes. You know, you said you hate wasting time. You hate anything slow or lazy, closed-mindedness, and 3-foot walls. I mean, inside, especially, and I'm going to argue this, inside of the residential real estate side, it's fraught with excess paperwork. It's fraught with goofy hoops that people have to jump through to get things done. How does that not drive you crazy?
It does drive me crazy. It does drive me crazy, but also there are people who don't mind. It goes back to systems and people. There are the people who love paperwork, who love doing things exactly as they're supposed to be done and checking every block and crossing every T and all the things. So if those are the people in charge of your contract to close part of the business, they're happy to do it. And then you don't have to. So that's one way. And then the other way is just choosing not to do anything that you don't have to do. A lot of people will tell you, you have to do something, or they'll tell you, no, you can't do it that way. And you say, okay, thank you very much. You can either talk to someone else who might give you a different answer, or you can just choose to do it your own way. And depending, this all takes a lot of ability to determine what is truly important, what's not, which lines you can cross and which ones you can't. So it takes a lot of tact. But if you are able to do that and release the things that don't matter, I say this all the time to my freaking agents. I say, be a rain jacket. Don't be a sponge. Let it roll right off you. Don't absorb it and keep rolling. Because people will get really, really weighted down by the no's and the negativity and the things aren't happening and all that stuff. You can't let it slide right off you and keep rolling.
Right. I love that. When you say you dislike a 3-foot wall, what does that mean?
That is, people will say like, no, we can't do it that way. This goes back to the point I was just making before. Or no, it's not possible. And they're saying no because they're seeing a wall, but they're not realizing that it's 3 feet and you can hop right over it. So it came actually from an army saying, and it basically, don't stop at the first thing that looks like a setback. That's what I mean by that.
Gotcha. Man, that's fantastic. Shelby, before we jump here into the final 4 questions, is there anything else that you would love to share with our listeners?
Not really.
Sounds great. Well, let's hit it. Here's the final 4 questions. Okay, here we go, Shelby. First question is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate, what would you do with it and why?
I would, especially if I did not know anything about real estate investing or experience, I would buy a primary residence, ideally multifamily, or at least something that you can house hack using a primary residence loan with the intent of house hacking. So you're getting the best rate, terms, down payment, everything possible out there on the market. And then I would use that $20,000 to furnish out the remainder of the units as short-term rentals. And I would live in up, hopefully you get a quad. I would live in one unit and I would have 3 freaking Airbnbs, which bring in a ton of money, and I would be really happy.
Right. I love that. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I would ask the questions. So a lot of times newer investors do not want to sound dumb. I would say, ask the questions, call whoever you need to, get the answer, dig in deep. And because if you don't, you're biting yourself at the end. You will regret not finding the answer up front because it will bite you later.
Right, man. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Huge on community. And so my goal right now is not only the community built within 5 pillars, but also we do a real estate investors meetup called Pints and Properties, and it's gone nationwide. And so the intent of that is to educate the community. It's a free meetup. Come learn about real estate investing and ways that you can change not only your financial situation, but also your mindset and the people you surround yourself with.
Right. That's great. Shelby, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Real Estate with Shelby Osborne on Instagram is a great way, but also 5pillarsrealty.com and just contact.
Awesome. Shelby, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.